We're turning to the book of Exodus and to the chapter 21. To Exodus, the chapter is 21. And we'll read the opening verses of this chapter. Exodus, the chapter is 21. We'll commence at the first one. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of that verse 6. We look to the Lord again for help as we come now to his word. Our God and our Father, we bow again before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of praise. We thank thee for thy wondrous love. We thank thee for every privilege that is ours today in Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for the blessings of the Sabbath day that finds us in the house of God and gathered before thee. But Lord, now we turn to thee for that word. And we pray, Lord, that for this purpose, to this end, that thou would have us to know that real sense of being shut in with God, that our hearts will be open to thee. No, Lord, we pray that thou would give to us an understanding of what thou hast got to say to us today. Look to thee, Lord, for the preaching of thy word. Lord, we acknowledge before thee that thou knowest the need of the preacher. And, O Lord, I pray that in thy mercy and grace, and for thine own glory's sake, and for the blessing of thy people, we pray, Lord, that thou would be my helper, that thou would meet that every need. Pray, Lord, today that thou would grant to me that fresh anointing, that I might know the power of God in the place of preaching, that liberty that is found in the Holy Ghost. Pray, Lord, that thou would give to me clarity of mind. Take from me, Lord, every distraction, every distracting thought. Give to me plainness of speaking, Lord, that all will be able to understand what the Lord has to say to us. Everything, Lord, that we require, oh, grant it to us now from the sanctuary. Lord, we look to thee. Oh, be amongst us. Grant us the application of the word, and do us good, we ask of thee, in the Saviour's precious name. Amen and amen. We've been reading in these opening verses of the chapter 21 of Exodus of the Hebrew slave. Now, the Hebrew slave was in a very special position. The period of his servitude was limited to 6 years, and then he could go free. Often it was the case that because of poverty, a man would put himself into the service of a master, or a family would sell a grown son into slavery. But a different kind of slavery existed among the Jews. It was not that barbaric, shameful slavery that disgraced the world in the past centuries. Among the Jews, the master was obliged to feed the servant well, and he was obliged to clothe him and to provide for him in every way. But as we have seen here, he must release him after 6 years. I want this morning just to consider this subject and to see in it a picture of the believer, a believer in the service of God, the one who is bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. People, here's the point to be immediately embraced and acknowledged. Saved one, Christ is our master. Now we can talk of him as our Savior, and rightly so, and we can speak of him as our friend and as our shepherd. We can talk about him as being the Son of God. All of these titles are right and applicable, but he is our Lord and he is our Master. This point is well illustrated for us over in the chapter 9 of Acts. And there in the first 6 we can see Paul. Before he was saved, he despised the Lord Jesus Christ. But as soon as he was saved, he was a new creature, and old things passed away, and he owns Christ as Lord. In that first 6 of the chapter 9 of the Acts, we have Paul saying here, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And the term that he uses there, that word Lord, it is the same word for master. Master, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Here is the entire submission of his own will, submitting himself completely to the will of the Lord. Here is his entire allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to do anything that Christ would tell him to do. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? Anything that the Lord should tell him to do. Here we have this sense of being in submission to the Lord. He would do what the Lord had asked of him. He was no longer his own. He was Christ's. He was now the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear saved one, this is where we stand today. The Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 6 and in the verse 20, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. That is our place. There is something that every child of God needs afresh to grasp, that we are not our own, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been bought by the price that he paid for us. And of course, that redemptive price was the price of his own blood. Well, as we read in 1 Peter in the chapter 1 and the verse 19, that redemptive price that Jesus paid was his own blood that he shed on Calvary. And let this point again be made right away. Dear unsaved in the meeting, you will never be redeemed. You will never be saved except by the merits of Christ's atoning work, by the merits of Christ on the cross. There is only cleansing from sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Salvation is not by your own works. It's not by your own merit. It's not by money. It is by grace that we are saved. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People, here is the way, the plan of redemption. It is through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we come to these verses here that we read together in Exodus 21, we can see here that which will bring to us the sense of renewing our dedication to the Lord and to his service. Here is that vow, that statement of commitment to remain in the service of the Lord, to do his will and to do his will in all things. Now, here is the Hebrew servant, and he comes to the making of a choice. And in that verse 5, his choice is made. And it says there, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my family. I will not go out free. He had a choice. He had a choice of either leaving the service of his master, the one he had served for 6 years, or else he could choose to remain in his service and in his service forever. When we look at this choice, you will see that it is a plain choice. Because we read here, he shall plainly say. There's no ifs and buts about this. There's no conditions. He doesn't say here to the master, well, I will stay in your service if you do this or if you do that for me. He shall plainly say, I love my master. Here's a plain choice. Here's the servant of the master indicating to us the servant, those who serve the Lord, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, those who are washed in the blood of Christ, those who are redeemed by the Lord. Such a one before the Lord saying, I love my master. The Lord Jesus Christ is pictured here in the master. And I wonder, people, can you plainly say that today? To everyone in our meeting, here's a question. Right away, that is implied in these verses. Can we say today, individually and personally, I love the Lord Jesus Christ? The Hebrew servant, of course, could say that because he loved the company of the master himself. There is an affection here. I love my master. During the years of service, the slave had come to know his master and to love his master. And he loved to be with him, and he loved to talk to him, he loved to walk with him, and he loved to work for him and to work with him. And no wonder that he loved his master when the slave thought about the price that the master paid for him. And when he thought about the provisions that the master made for him, and when he thought about the protection that he enjoyed under the master's care, and when he thought about the peace that was afforded to him by and through his master, no wonder he loved the master. No wonder he didn't want to leave him. And people, is it not so with us, dear child of God, that we can say today, we love Christ. Because we love him today because of the price that he paid in order to deliver our souls from hell. The price that he paid in order that we should be redeemed and made right with God and ready for heaven. That price, people, can be seen in his atoning work. That price can be seen on Calvary. And when we would have our minds to go back again to the cross work of Christ on Calvary, we see the Savior there on that middle tree. There we can see him bearing the abuse of men as his body has been nailed to the cross. We think of how the Savior was taken there and the cross laid low and his body nailed to the cross. We can think of the nails going through his hands. We can think of the nails going through his feet, the pain, the agony. We can imagine in our minds what it was like for those thorns to be pressed cruelly into his head. We can see the figure of Christ in our mind, and then the cross was uplifted with Christ secured to it, and it was dropped down into the socket, and how the wounds would have been opened as the body of Christ, as he himself would have been jolted down when the cross was dropped into the socket. We can imagine the pain and the agony of the Savior. We can see him there on the cross as he bears the wrath of God in our place. There, when he feels himself to be separated, to be forsaken by God the Father. The pain and the agony of crucifixion, all coming together in the Savior. This is the price that he paid in order to redeem us. The justice of God had declared that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. that the wages of sin is death, but Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice to satisfy that justice of God on behalf of poor sinners, to be our substitute, to bear that pain, to bear the wrath of God in our place so that we could be delivered from the penalty of our sin. Oh, how the Savior has loved us. We think of the fullness of provision that we have in the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we keep it in the context of that chapter in Matthew. All these things is talking about our everyday needs, the things that we wear, what we eat, what we drink, all of these things provided for us. We think indeed of the divine care that we have in the Lord, that divine peace. Paul could say, and the believer can say with Paul in Philippians 4 in the verse 18, I have all and abound, and I am full. Or the psalmist, as he said, my cup runneth over. People, this is how it is for those who have been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, bought by his precious blood, brought into his family, into his fold, and today we are found here as servants of the Lord. Yes, he loved the company of his master, and he didn't want to leave him. I wonder, do we love the company of Christ the Lord? And do we spend time with him? Do we commune with him? Here's a man, he loved the company of the Lord. He loved the companionship, the friendship that was in the master's house. He thought about his family. They were in the master's house, his wife, his children. How could he leave them? How could he leave his wife and his family there? It would be a terrible disappointment. It would be a terrible loss. It would be a terrible discouragement to them. People, you cannot go away from Christ for the sake of the loved ones, your loved ones that are in Christ. What a terrible discouragement and a loss would be. You cannot go away from Christ without having an effect, without that having an effect on others. On your family. Think about the hurt. Think about the harm that that would bring to them. Here's a man, and when he was making his decision, he said, well, I love my master. I don't want to leave him. And he's saying, I love my family, for they are in the house of the master, and I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to harm them by going away from the master. Indeed, the whole family of believers, it would break their hearts when a child of God would turn away from the things of God. Those who love us most, and those who pray for us, and those who support us. What a discouragement that is. And he loved the master's cause. The master's business had become the servant's business. And so the business of Christ is ours, and we love it. The saving of souls, the extension of his church, the glory of God. People, here's a plain choice that the servant made. He said, I love my master. There is every reason for us to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The brother was reading to us earlier on from that Psalm 100, and the second verse, he laid the emphasis upon that little phrase, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Servant, he made a plain choice. But then also it was a painful choice, because when you look at the first six there, we read that the servant who made the choice of staying with his master, that his ear would be bored through with an awl. That was the mark of the servant. He would be recognized as the servant of his master. It was the mark of entire consecration to his master. Now, when we turn there to the Psalm number 40, and to the first six here, we have before us the Lord Jesus Christ in this psalm and in this part, in this portion of the psalm. And we have the Lord saying in the first six, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Mine ears hast thou opened. The word there is, of course, to pierce. Christ is forever and for our sakes the willing servant of God, and that involved pain, as we have already considered. His humiliation, his suffering, his service, the agony of the cross, the loneliness of the cross, the shame of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ bears the mark of his consecration to the Father's will. And so the believer, the choice to serve the Lord, to be devoted to him, can be a painful choice. When we think of the Apostle Paul, we go over there to Galatians and to the chapter 6. In the verse 17, we read him saying, right towards the end of this epistle, verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wore the scars of serving the Lord, the weakness that was caused by imprisonment and by fasting and by weariness and by persecution and by mocking and by scourgings and by misrepresentations against him. These are the marks that he bore in his body because of his identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the servant of the Lord, devoted to the will of the Lord. It's interesting that the word marks there that are used in relation to Paul, that word, it is the word from the Greek form that we get stigma. He bore the stigma. People, it was painful for the apostle, for him to serve the Lord. And so for all of those who live for the Lord, there is pain involved. 2 Timothy 3:12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that live godly. Here is holiness. This is the mark of the believer. It is a stigma. It is a disgrace. It is something to be ridiculed for in the eyes of the ungodly. When a man lives godly, when he lives according to the will of God and lives according to the word of God, then he is marked by the world. It's like a stigma. Holiness of life is something that is despised and hated by the world. If you take your stand for the Lord and for his word, then the ungodly will mark you out and they will attack you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Godliness is a stigma in the eyes of the world, and it will bring persecution. We find also that there is the pain of self-denial. Over there in Matthew, the chapter 16, the verse 24, we read, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him, it says, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Is speaking here, this term, deny himself, it is the term that will relate to utter denial of self. It is to be emptied of self-will, even as Christ was. He pleased not himself, is what we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the pattern here for the child of God. Let him deny himself utterly. It is to give anything, to give up anything that is in conflict with the claims of Christ, no matter how painful that it might be for us. The pain of self-denial, denying ourselves convenience, denying ourselves comfort, denying ourselves our selfish plans and our ambitions, that can be painful to the old nature. People, what is all of this in light of what the Lord has done for us and in light of what he is doing for us now and in light of what he will do? But for a man to make that firm renewal of his vow to the Lord, for the child of God to be in that place where again before God they will consciously say, I will love my master. I love my master. I will not go out free. The renewing of that vow of dedication to the Lord and to his service, it is a plain choice, but it can be a painful choice. But then it is a public choice in the first six there. We read that it was before others. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. It had to be made before others. It had to be public. He could not be a secret slave or a secret servant. And dear child of God, you cannot be a secret disciple. We should be proud of Christ. We should be proud of his love for us. We should be proud to serve him. We should be proud to stand for him. We think of Moses over in Exodus 32. In that verse 26, Moses said to the crowd, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come on to me. A public stand before all in the camp. My friend, here is something that requires a public stand before all. Before the family, before friends, before neighbors, at work, at school. It is making your stand for Christ before all. It is saying, I love Christ and I belong to Christ and I bear the marks of his servant and I do it gladly. They're like war wounds when we think of the marks of persecution. When those who hate the child of God would persecute the child of God for his love for the Lord. My friend, that's nothing to be ashamed of. The despising of the world, by the world, of the child of God is nothing to be ashamed of. I think when men have gone to war and they've been wounded and they come back again home and they show the wounds that they suffered in the war, they're not a bit ashamed of them. They're proud of them because of their service to the land and their service to the country, their service to the Queen. We should be proud people to take our stand for the Lord, no matter what the pain, no matter what the cost. We should be proud to say, this is my choice. I love the Lord and I'm willing to be public on that particular matter. And then, of course, you will see it was a permanent choice. In that verse 6, it says, he shall serve him forever. There's no going back. No going back, people. What a sad thing it is when one who professes faith in Christ and who was involved in the work of the Gospels to go back. We've already related something of that, the discouragement and the disappointment that others feel. It's like Demas over in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, where we read that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. He has forsaken me. He did forsake Paul, and he did forsake the work of the gospel. Why? Because he loved this present world. He was once a fellow worker with Paul, as we read in Colossians 4 and 14, but he preferred the life of ease and the life of comfort, and he preferred the company of the world and whatever the world had to offer him. And especially, he loved life rather than die as a martyr. He loved this present world. But what a discouragement that was to Paul. When he's writing here, Demas has forsaken me. He feels himself to be left alone. He feels the loneliness of it, the disappointment of it. It was a discouragement, no doubt, to the Apostle Paul. There is no going back. Remember Peter's words to Christ when the crowd was dwindling away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord said, will ye also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? There in John the chapter 8. To whom shall we go? Shall we go back to the world? Shall we go back to the devil? Shall we go back to the disgrace and the defilement and the vileness and the deceit of sin? What? Leave the lovely Saviour after all that he has done for us? No, let this be the firm resolve of the child of God. I have decided to follow Jesus, and there's no going back. There's no going back. I love my Master, and I will gladly serve him forever. Dear men and women today, I wonder, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Master? Has he bought you with his own precious blood? Has he delivered you from the clutches of the devil? And has he delivered you from the penalty of sin by his own cross work there on Calvary? Is he your Saviour? My friend, if Christ is your Saviour, let this be your resolve. I love my Master. And I love the people of God. And I will not go back again to the world. I love my Master, and I will not go out free. May the Lord be pleased to apply his word to our hearts today. May it be a saving word to those that are his, to those that are yet unsaved, and may it be a word of encouragement to those that are the Lord's. We'll bow in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing just a couple of verses together in closing. Our God and our Father, we pray that thou would be pleased to apply thy word to our hearts, that we might find it to be profitable, that thou would make it a blessing to our souls. And we pray, Lord, that it will be a challenge to our hearts. Save the unsaved and bless thy people, we pray, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.